KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Reminder that coming up on September 5th, Truth Rising will be released to the general public at no cost. It's a 90-minute documentary put together by Focus on the Family, along with the Colson Center. The documentary is hosted by John Stonestreet, who heads up the Colson Center, also Oz Guinness. The trailer for the documentary is on our website, klyt.fm. You can go there and check it out. Go to truthrising.com to find out more about the project. And then soon to come after the release of the documentary is a four-week study guide. So we'll be talking about that as well as more of the product is released. But we are going to welcome Jim Daly onto ABQ Connect, of course, the host of Focus on the Family, on Tuesday's broadcast. Join us for that. And many of you familiar with the baker in Colorado that stood his ground when asked to make a cake that he felt like pushed against his faith. We are working to get that interview before the release of the documentary as well. He's part of the documentary. So find out more, though, by going to truthrising.com or check out the trailer on the website at klyt.fm. In studio with us for the full hour, Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com, for our Friday financial update. And in lieu of a single segment, we get a full hour with you today, Brian. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's always fun to unpack some money topics together here.
Yeah, well, the big word today is insurance, and I'm probably going to offend, but I'm going to go for it. We're not talking about, you know, the dealer showing an ace, or maybe you can apply it somehow through this, Brian. But I probably offended everyone because we're talking about being good stewards of our resources, and I use a gambling illustration. But insurance, who should have it? What kind? Brian, actually, you're going to walk me through a lot of this today, and I'll probably have a question similar to the listeners as we jump into segment one. Can you kind of frame out the whole topic for us?
Yeah, and it's some of you might be hearing this and going, how do you talk for a full hour about life insurance?
Oh, you can't.
I don't think about life insurance at all. I might know I have some, or maybe I have some through work, and I don't really think about it. But actually, in the world of financial planning, life insurance is a bit of a controversial topic because it's viewed differently by folks with different philosophies and incentives. So we'll kind of unpack that today. But part of what caused me to think about this is it is one of the most recent topics on our blog, on our insights page at johnmoore.com. But also, we just had a situation with a young client that made this front of mind. And basically, this was a young woman, late 20s, very sharp, neat lady to work with, just very bright, very hardworking. But she's a single woman, and her primary goal right now is to maintain financial security, have a good emergency fund while she builds reserves to purchase a home. In the meantime, she's trying to just make good decisions. And in unpacking her financial situation, we discover that she was not putting anything in her retirement plan at work, so she was not getting her matching funds.
Wow.
But an insurance broker had sold her a $200 a month life insurance policy. A whole life plan to give her, I think it was about $150,000 of life insurance death benefits. So if she passed away, her beneficiaries get $150,000, and she didn't know why she had it. So here she had this insurance. She has no debt at this point. She's not married. There's no one dependent on her financially, yet she's putting $200 a month towards life insurance and nothing towards her retirement, therefore leaving her company match on the table. And I think that's an example that's probably not that uncommon, where someone is allocating money towards insurance above and beyond what's in their best interest. And we're going to help her kind of unpack that policy or unwind it, if you will. So the problem here is that life insurance is often sold as sort of a catch-all savings tool, which it can be an effective savings tool for some people in some circumstances we'll talk about. But it's actually rarely the best solution for multiple goals. It has a singular purpose that should be the focus.
All right. Yeah, when I hear about young people that have, I mean, you know, I know that it's on insurance, but I just, it baffles me. When you have an employer, you're in a, you're employed at a place that has a matching fund. I mean, Brian, even if, even if it's only, I mean, 25 cents on the dollar, you know, so.
Yeah, to leave that on the table for something that's not essential was, it was hard for us to see as advice. We were
frustrated. But the praise report is, it was found.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guess corrected, or hopefully, but of course that's her decision. All right. Life insurance is really, I said insurance at the top of the hour. More specifically, life insurance is what we're going to be covering through much of the hour, and looking at, well, actually, Brian, as we look forward to segments 2, 3, and 4, can you tease what is on the way in this hour?
So yeah, we'll spend some time introducing the concept here in this first segment. In the second segment, we'll really talk about, okay, who needs life insurance? The woman we just gave the illustration for, she doesn't really need life insurance, but who does? You know, where does it fit? Where does it not fit? In segment 3, we'll talk about some of the misconceptions and how you might determine how much insurance is appropriate for your needs. And then we'll close with just kind of wrapping it up by just talking about, okay, how does this fit into my overall stewardship mentality and about me being intentional about how I manage my money and protect my family.
All right. So I guess we start with highlighting the problem.
Yeah. So it, really, it's kind of, I mentioned, you know, it's a, life insurance can be promoted and sold as a catch-all. It's actually interesting. I got into the industry in 06, in 2006, Steve, and I was with a company where I earned commissions for selling life insurance at the time. It wasn't the only thing I could do, but I was surrounded by insurance salesmen, and some of them were really good at it, and it was kind of that thing where when you're a hammer, everything's a nail.
Yeah.
Everybody got a pitch for life insurance, and I really struggled with some of that structure because the incentives were misaligned. They received large commissions for selling life insurance, whether it was really what was best for the customer or not. So we've seen this. There's a lot of great life insurance advisors out there. We refer to some that we really trust, but there's also folks out there where there's a conflict. So it falls under you as a steward to make the right decisions, and it brought to me Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. So slowing down and making good decisions around life insurance is important. It's just part of everything we do as stewards. If we're going to allocate premiums or cost every month towards a policy, we better have a good reason for it.
All right. So the thing that stood out to me there was one size does not fit all. So there's, you know, you mentioned whole life. And if you said, Steve, define whole life, no, I wouldn't do it. I mean, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I don't deal with life insurance daily, and I do have some life insurance. You know, the different types of life insurance, what you'd consider. You know, as you were talking about being a young person in the industry and, you know, selling life insurance was something you got commission on. I mean, I worked somewhere where we sold a service, a product, and the contract included, you know, accidental death and dismemberment, you know, and we wrote it into the contract and that was something that, you know, that I actually look back on and go, huh. 'Cause, you know, often people would say, I have plenty of other that I don't need that.
Right.
You know, and that's maybe for another time, but is that somewhere in this hour, something that we'll cover as you're going through, you know, not necessarily the main life insurance that you'll have, but, you know, it comes up at other times. It's kind of like supplemental life insurance.
Right. And that all comes down to knowing how much insurance you really need.
Yeah.
And what I've always said about the accidental death insurance is whether I die by accident or by illness, you know, the amount I need should be the same.
Yeah.
The way I die should not matter. You know, my family will need some amount of money to replace my financial values. We'll talk about in the other segments, but
right. And like you, if I'm being transparent, you know, we were commissioned on it, and you know, you just wrote it in, and you know, every quarter there was so yeah. I mean, I think to be astute enough to realize that the person offering you what they, you know, are they looking out for your best interest or theirs? And it's not just in life insurance. It's other things when it comes to our finances.
Absolutely. And this is why life insurance can be confusing for some people, is because they might be told by one person. These can be complex insurance products. So you might be told by one person, you know, you need this and here's all the reasons and here's all the bells and whistles you get. But you don't know if you're getting an objective opinion or an opinion that serves your best interest and helps you be a wise steward. So you have this confusion of, well, I don't really know how to make this decision as to whether what this person's telling me is right. And unfortunately, because most life insurance is sold on a commission basis, that conflict of interest is in its nature. Right. You know, I like to think that when I was doing that, I didn't sell anybody insurance they didn't need, that didn't fit their needs properly, that wasn't in their best interest. But I would not blame the clients for wondering if that was the case or not, you know, just because of the business model. So that's part of the source of confusion, is complex products sold by people who are motivated to place products, you know, and hopefully they're doing it with good ethics, but may or may not be the best solution for you. And then just a general lack of financial literacy of, like you said, you couldn't define whole life. Most people can't.
Yeah.
So you're not alone there, Steve. You know, you're not at the bottom of the class or something.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be the person listening. You guys might not call in and say it, but I'll say it.
Yeah.
Because the goal here is to get you educated so you have content to equip you to make good decisions when it comes to being good stewards with the resources God's provided you with. So Brian Cochran, the president of John Moore Associates, is in studio with us for the full hour on our Friday financial update. And we're going to take a quick break and come back and jump into that question, who needs life insurance? The answer might surprise you. We'll come back after this on ABQ Connect. Hey, thanks for tuning in. A full hour today with Brian Cochran and John Moore Associates. Brian already mentioned johnmoore.com and the Insights tab that we mention just about every time we visit. And Brian, on our topic today on life insurance, that's some new content that's been posted there.
Absolutely. So you'll find on there an archive of all of our blogs, all of our quarterly webinars with experts in different topics. Our next one coming up here in September will be on Medicare supplement insurance.
Yeah,
excited about that.
Timely.
And then you also have access to all of our YouTube videos that we just started, included in a weekly investment market update. So lots of content there to enjoy and hopefully learn something.
All right. And let me say this about Insights tab. We typically do. It's no cost for you to go there and search the blogs. And, you know, if there's a topic, you know, dealing with finances, type it into the search menu and you'll find a well source of information to peruse and look at. You know, I would encourage, you know, I was going to say young couples, but couples, families that are, I don't know. This is a good place to start go and find a lot of that information that you may not be prepared to really have a conversation about, including life insurance. And as we head back into this, Brian, we mentioned we're going to talk about in this segment, who needs life insurance? And I teased a little bit that people may be surprised at this answer.
Yeah, and I think the key here is life insurance sometimes is sold as more of a savings vehicle, but we have to first view it as insurance. Really what you're paying for is insurance. And what is insurance? Insurance is the transfer of risk. So if I have health insurance, I'm transferring the risk of the expense associated with healthcare costs.
Right.
If I have my home insurance, I'm transferring the risk associated with losing my home to fire or flood or whatever damages are covered by my policy. So in this case, you know, we're trying to insure against the risk, the financial risk of losing a spouse or an individual. So what you're really looking at there is someone with dependents. You know, I think of my household. I'm the only income earner. My wife's works hard in the home. She's a household engineer, as some people call it, and a fabulous one.
It makes it possible for you to be where you are doing what you do.
Yep, and she's awesome at it. But if something's happened to me tomorrow, you know, we've got a mortgage, we've got bills to pay, we've got tuition at Hope Christian for our children. There's things that need doing and paying, and she does not have the capacity, you know, at least day one, to cover those expenses. So there are people dependent on my income, and if my income's lost, we need to replace that. Also, if you have shared debts, maybe you don't have kids, but maybe you're a husband and wife and you're both contributing financially to the household and that allows you to pay a mortgage payment every month. Well, if you lose one of those incomes, you might want a lump sum there to pay off the, mm-hmm. the mortgage or any other debts so that you're free of those debts, the surviving spouses. And often business obligations could be a good reason for life insurance. There's a key man life insurance that if I have a top salesman that's really making my business work and he dies, I'm going to go through a period of maybe lower sales in my company. Therefore, I have life insurance that would pay to the company if my employee dies.
Interesting. Very specific.
Or what if I have a partnership between Steve, let's say you and I are in business yeah. together and we have a thriving company.
Donuts. We're making donuts.
Yeah. Okay. We're making donuts and we're selling lots of donuts and we're 50-50 owners. And if I die, I might have life insurance that goes to my spouse goes to you so you can buy out my spouse. Uh-huh. And so you don't want to be in business with my wife as much as you like being in business with me. She's gluten-free. She wouldn't be very good at owning a donut shop, but
there's some good gluten-free.
Yeah, there are. but the idea there is that's like called a, you know, it was more of a business insurance transaction, right? Yeah. So there's lots of people who need it, but there's also those who don't. You know, the example I gave earlier, a single young woman,
right,
just saving for a house. She has nobody who is dependent on her financially. What is, you know, aside from maybe her final burial expenses,
right,
could be covered.
That's
by
actually what came to mind.
Her assets, you know, and her parents are well off. They could afford to cover her funeral expense. There's really not a strong reason there. If you're debt-free, if you're single, there's a good chance you probably don't need it.
Now, here's a question about mm-hmm. the single person. A single person that's intent on getting married and having a family, mm-hmm. is there an advantage to starting before you're married?
Yes, in the sense that your health can always change.
Yeah.
And most life insurance requires you to answer a health questionnaire or even take a small health exam, a urine test or a blood test, or, you know, and they'll look at your medical records. So sometimes when we have someone who's going to start a family, like start having children, we'll have the wife obtain life insurance before they become pregnant, just uh-huh. because there's health concerns that could pop up through the pregnancy and the delivery. So it's nice to go into that period with your life insurance intact and knowing that it's covered. That's the primary reason, is a change in health could remove your ability to obtain life insurance. But the idea here is, if you have life insurance, you should be asking yourself, what risk am I transferring? The other group here that sometimes ends up overinsured that we work with a lot of pre-retired and retired people. And what if people go into retirement with large life insurance death benefits? Well, why did they have the life insurance? Well, it was to replace their income. Well, if they're retired and they're not earning wages anymore, theoretically that couple should likely be financially independent, meaning they don't need an income to meet their lifestyle anymore, which means they don't need to protect that income. There's a chance that they could use either much less life insurance than they had when both spouses were working or the breadwinner was working, or, you know, maybe no life insurance. So sometimes we end up canceling life insurance policies, people coast into retirement. Now, there are some reasons to have life insurance in retirement, such as replacing lost pension income, things like that. But generally, when we run our analysis, we find that folks that are prepared to be financially independent and be retired are also prepared to be without life insurance.
Okay, so we talked about the single person, we talked about the retired person. The person who... they've got dependents, you know, if they're gone, or maybe, you know, they heavily support a ministry, or and it's something they've believed firmly in, and almost see that ministry or organization that they're supporting mm-hmm. As another dependent.
Yeah, so there are some people that maybe they get to retirement and they don't have that income replacement objective for their life insurance. And they say, well, you know, my wife doesn't need this death benefit if I were to pass away tomorrow because I've accumulated a significant retirement pool of funds. But maybe I'll keep my life insurance and I'll change the beneficiary to my church or my favorite ministry or some combination thereof. So there can be reasons to maintain life insurance for the benefit of a charity to kind of give your estate a bit of a boost. But in the end, we really look at life insurance as family protection more than anything. And so we want to see that there's a smart, calculated way to protect the family. And I think of 1 Timothy 5:8, which says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We're tasked to care for our family. And if we're physically unable to, then that's where the church, the community of God comes around people. But if you're able to provide for your family, you should. And that could include buying insurances that provide for your family if something happens to you, either death or disability.
All right. A question just came to mind. I lost it. In this segment covering who needs life insurance, I think really single people, a lot of times not. Mm-hmm. You may find a place in review here where they may need it. And then there's those that are near retirement or entering into retirement. I think that staunch reminder of our responsibility to those in our household. I will say this. I'm really thankful. My dad is in heaven now. He well prepared for this. And I can see the ease it was on my mother, which is a blessing to obviously to her, but to me and my brothers and grandkids to see that mom's good.
Yep.
I do kind of wonder as we're maybe hit on by various life insurance sales guys or either it's in our face and we maybe select the wrong way to go, or we don't even really consider it. Mm-hmm. It really is something to be prayerful about and to seek insight from others on, especially those that are more able to define whole life insurance.
Right.
What have you.
And what I would note, Steve, along those lines, we've kind of spent some time talking about how some people have insurance they don't need. I want to be clear about something. We recommend people get more life insurance far more often than we recommend people reduce or cancel life insurance.
Okay.
Most families we meet, young working families in particular, have an under insurance problem, not an over insurance problem. Yeah. The one problem we do run into with some of those families, though, is they're paying for very expensive whole life policies or permanent insurance that has cash value, as opposed to just getting the right amount. So, yeah. For example, you might be paying $200 a month for $100,000 of coverage, when what you should be doing is paying that $200 a month to get $5 million of coverage or $2 million of coverage,
yeah,
to properly protect your family. So the question here is one of the right fit, the right death benefit. And what I would encourage people to start to answer this question, do I need life insurance, is if I died today, what bills,
right,
would go unpaid, or what goals does my family have that would go unfulfilled? If I'm currently saving money for college and I died and I couldn't keep saving for my kids' college, do I need money to boost their college fund? You know, would the mortgage go unpaid if I died? Would our utilities go unpaid, or is my spouse taking care of those things?
Scholarships. Not scholarship, but tuition.
Yeah. So all those things, that's the question to ask. Now, if you're a young single person, you ask, if I died tomorrow, what goals would go unsatisfied? Well, only my own goals, which aren't relevant anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one way to think of this. And then if you have goals not to be paid, that wouldn't be paid, I think in our next segment, we can talk about how to figure out what amount of life insurance you might need to pay that.
Right. Yeah. Especially going back to the first segment, when you mentioned someone, you know, who essentially had life insurance that maybe wouldn't be a great idea for them to have it now, a single person. Having $200 going towards that each month instead of towards a retirement program, mm-hmm, set up at their work that's going to provide a match. And as I start to think, it's kind of a math thing. Let's figure, God knows when that time is, when you're going to, mm-hmm, go. I would imagine if you haven't gotten to the point where you've got a substantial amount in your retirement fund or savings, that at when that's lower, and we'll probably get into this in the next segment, you may want, mm-hmm, some kind of insurance. And then as that grows, there may be a regular way to reevaluate that and go, all right, we can back off that a little bit, and because this is you've done your job. You're covering all of those things.
You've checked that box.
Yeah. All right. Listen, if you just tuned in, we're visiting the full hour with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates and Friday Financial Update every Friday. This week, we get a full hour. So we're going to continue that. And as Brian mentioned, looking at some common misconceptions and determining coverage, which type, what to do when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. All right. Thanks for tuning in, and hopefully you'll join us over the weekend. Hey, if you didn't check it out yet, over the last few weeks, we kicked off some great family programming over the weekend from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. You can enjoy Paws and Tales, brought to you by the folks at Insight for Living, and then the Brinkman Adventures, the continuing adventures of a family involved in missions, and it really teaches young people about the importance of missions. You'll also catch at 8 o'clock Adventures in Odyssey, a classic from Focus on the Family, and then also from Focus on the Family at 8:30 is Radio Theater. That's 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Saturday mornings, and then as you're tuned in over the weekend, join us for Bible School of the Year from noon to 5 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock Saturday evening is the live service from Calvary Church. So Saturday alone over the weekend, a great reason to tune in. This show on Monday, since it's Labor Day, we'll have a Jerry Stewart Labor Day special. You can tune in for that when you come back after the or during the holiday if you're listening on Monday. And then join us back here on Tuesday. As I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, Tuesday's show will have Jim Daly from Focus on the Family on the broadcast talking about that documentary, Truth Rising. Full hour today with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates. The topic today is life insurance. And Brian, for those who may have just tuned in, and we want to encourage them to follow up in a couple of ways. They can look for this conversation when it's posted, probably after the holiday, at abqconnect.online. And then also, a lot of the information we're covering here today, I'm sure will be found in the blog posted at on the Insights tab at johnmoore.com. But for those who missed the first half of the show, can you recap before we go into a closer look at common misconceptions about life insurance and determining what kind of coverage?
Yeah, so we start off talking about how there's confusion around life insurance because some of the insurance products are complex. And they're sometimes sold by people who could have a conflict of interest in promoting those products. So you might be pitched something and you have to determine yourself with no literacy in the topic what's best for you. And so we then discussed, who should have life insurance? Who should be considering this conversation? And it's really anybody who has, who leaves behind somebody with a need that's unfulfilled. So it could be if you have debts, that you're leaving your spouse if you were to die, or replacing your lost income, or it could be reasons within a business to have life insurance. But really, you have to ask yourself, what bills would go unpaid or what goals would go unmet if I died and my income was no longer available to my spouse, to my family. And that kind of goes really well into the myth. So the first myth we wanted to break, and we have, I think, pretty well already, is that everyone needs life insurance. No. Not everybody requires life insurance. Some people say you should always buy term life insurance and then, save money on your life insurance by buying the cheapest kind and then invest any other money you have available towards other goals. That's not always the case. There's times where buying more expensive versions of life insurance is the best recommendation. So it's not one size fits all. And then some people say that everyone should have a permanent life insurance policy. When I say term insurance, we're talking about policies. We say, okay, I'm buying it today, and for the next 10, 15, 20, or 30 years, I have life insurance. And at the end of that period, I have nothing. If I haven't passed away, there's no benefit. It's just insurance, just like your car insurance, your home insurance, you pay it. And then at the end, if you haven't claimed anything, well, you transferred the risk, but thankfully that risk did not come to pass.
Insurance company wins.
Yeah. So if you have permanent insurance, those are policies that are designed to last as long as you do. So they're policies that is either whole life or universal life or indexed universal life are all popular terms you hear right now, but they all mean long-term insurance that is far more costly than term, but gives you the protection for a longer period and helps with the accumulation of some form of cash value. There's other savings type qualities to the policies. So some people say everyone should have a permanent policy no matter what. And there are certain insurance companies that train their insurance representatives to go out and just sell insurance to everybody because everybody should have it. It almost becomes like a religion to them. And I don't believe that's true either, because not only should not everybody have a permanent insurance policy, probably not everyone should have life insurance in general. So if we throw out these sort of absolute terms and just focus on the unique nature of each family, we can figure out what's best for them, both how much coverage they should have with their life insurance, and then also what sort of insurance would meet that need.
All right. Looking closer at this, one of the things I do appreciate, Brian, and we've already done it a couple of times today, is as a certified Kingdom advisor, and even if you weren't, just knowing you and your love for the Word of God, certified Kingdom advisors are well trained to go to Scripture, and it's biblical insight that's given that really drives the information that you're giving to others.
Right, and I think that's key here. Is we talked about in the last segment, the biblical mandate to care for our family. In my mind, insuring against risks that could harm your family is part of caring for your family. I don't think that's a stretch to consider that. You know, they didn't have whole life insurance when Jesus was here with us, you know, so he didn't speak to whole life insurance. But I think when we're called to care for our family, I think that's key. And so when we look at life insurance needs, one of the inventories we do with the clients, so if I'm sitting down with a family, is I'll say, okay, well, let's figure out how much insurance you should have. Our firm does not sell insurance, but as comprehensive planners, we want to make sure families are well protected with the right coverage. And so we do this analysis and we start with debt. Our assumption is that everybody would want their surviving spouse to be debt-free if they lost a source of income. And that assumption is based on 20 years of experience and being through the situation with many widows where the spouse passed away. We've had some very young widows. The average age of a widow in the U.S. is less than 55. So a lot of people are losing their spouse during their working years when they may still have a mortgage, they may still have a car loan, they may still have student loans that may not be forgiven. So the first thing to look at, we're trying to figure out how much life insurance does someone need is, well, let's first take out the debt. So however much debt you have, you should have at least that much insurance. Then let's look at expenses, so such as final expenses, childcare expenses that might be faced if the surviving spouse is a worker and needs to do more childcare on his or her own. And then we also look at income replacement, you know, how much of your income is going towards operating your household. And then we look at that as an annual number. So you start to build this formula. So I always think of it like a flow chart, a step-by-step plan. So in reality, Steve, if we're looking at your household, let's say you're 35 years old and your wife's 34 and you've got two kids. I'm going to sit there and say, okay, what's your mortgage? Do you have any other debts? Okay, that's your first number. How much income does your surviving spouse earn if you were to pass away? Okay. And then how much of your household expenses beyond that would you need to meet? Okay. In addition to that, then what special expenses are you saving toward that you would need help with, such as saving for a child's college, saving for retirement, saving for a large expense that you would still want to satisfy if you were gone? And you start to end up with this number that's not just a rule of thumb or not just the amount that I think you can afford, but a number that is, this is how much death benefit you need. And what surprises most families when we go through that is that number is often seven figures. But if you think about it, if you're making $80,000 a year and you pass away at 30, we're losing 30 years of income.
Yeah.
Inflation adjust 80,000 a year times 30 years, you get seven figures pretty quick, let alone your debts and all of that. So these numbers become very large, several million dollars in many cases. But we're making an intentional decision as to how much life insurance you need, not just saying 10 times your salary or, you know, how much do you want to pay? And then we'll figure out how much death benefit we can get.
Now, Brian, you know, you don't want too much, you know, life insurance, but if you're going to err, is that the side to err on?
Yeah. And when I think of my wife, who I love very much, if I passed away tomorrow, I'd much rather have her look down and realize she has $200,000 more than she needed,
right,
than $200,000 less.
Right. And it's probably very difficult to take all of this information and nail it, but you can get a lot closer than you would if you just winged it.
Well, and I would note too, Steve, I like to think my life insurance need drops every month.
Right.
Because every month I pay down some principal on my mortgage.
Right.
Every month I save a little bit for retirement, which helps move my wife towards financial independence. Every month, yeah, it's one less month of wages.
Well articulated. I mean, this is what I was just kind of saying earlier. The old, you know, as you move along, it's like, well, I can back off, you know, with some of this insurance. And yeah, you know, when let's... Yeah. Can you calculate too, you know, the typical life expectancy? And it's like, well, instead of that insurance, if you took that money and put it elsewhere, you'd actually, based, you know, there's no, you can't ever say exactly what the market's going to do or what have you. But based on history, it's safe to say you might be better off going this route.
And really what we're talking about with all this, Steve, is placing life insurance as a component in the comprehensive financial plan of a wise steward.
Yeah.
So I'm not just saying, I guess I got to have some life insurance. Oh, my employer lets me get three times my salary, so that's my life insurance and that's enough. I've had many couples come in with 200, 300,000 death benefit. And I say, do you have life insurance? I've got plenty of insurance. How much do you have? Oh, I have $350,000 of coverage. Well, that's only half your mortgage. Oh, right. You think I need more than that? Yeah, you probably need $2.5 million. What? You know, and but I'll tell you, I mentioned to you in a break, it's not as expensive as you would think. So I right now carry a $5 million policy. That's a lot of death benefit. That's a lot of risk.
Yeah.
I'm transferring to the insurance company, and the premium is less than $2,000 a year.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be unattainable. But the idea is, when I used to sell life insurance, I'd get people, I'd say, well, I think you need $1 million of life insurance. And they start a negotiation. Well, what if I do $500,000? I'm like, then your wife will have $500,000 less than she needs when you die. Like, I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm trying to help you understand, yeah, and here's how I came to that number.
Yeah.
But and that's, as long as you're coming to it thoughtfully and with intentionality, you know, you would be surprised how big the number can be. And I like Proverbs 24 for this, verses 3 and 4. It says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. So we're called to thought, you know, be thoughtful, to seek out wisdom and understanding. So when we look at our comprehensive plan and think about where insurance fits in that, it shouldn't be willy-nilly. It should be something I think about. And then to your point, maybe revisit periodically because those numbers will evolve.
Right. Well, listen, if you just tuned in, we're visiting the full hour today, our Friday Financial Update with Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. A lot of great information in today's conversation. It will be posted probably early next week at abqconnect.online. And you can also find pretty much everything we're talking about today covered at no cost to you, to be able to go to johnmoore.com on the Insights tab. Just do a search for life insurance and look for the latest blog they've posted there. And you'll get a lot of the information you're probably questioning or asking about or need. We're going to take a quick break and come back in our final segment for a close to the conversation and a look at stewardship. And Brian, we already touched a little bit on this, intentionality. We're going to get to that right after the break on ABQ Connect. All right, we got a little more than 10 minutes to walk through closing up our conversation today on life insurance with Brian Cochran. He's the president of John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. And if you missed a portion, as I mentioned, going, closing up the last segment, make sure to look for the full conversation when we post it at abqconnect.online. And Brian, as we walk into this summary, there's some really great information. If you're thinking this, you know, you've heard it, you want to stay with us because there's some really good information, some practical things to apply as we wrap up the conversation. Brian, where do we start?
Yeah, I would say in summary, what we've discussed so far is to remember that life insurance is a tool. It's not a magical catch-all. And again, the reason we clarify that is if you'll see it on TikTok and LinkedIn and YouTube. There's people out there promoting life insurance as a robust, you know, savings tool where you can be your own bank and, you know, get tax-free retirement and all this. But first and foremost, it's a tool to protect, you know, your financial interests when you're gone, and the interests of your loved ones. So keeping that in mind is so crucial. It's not a magic bullet or a silver bullet or a magic wand. And be intentional about it. That's what we talked about in that last segment, Steve. It's not about just guessing with a multiple of income or accepting what your employer gives you is sufficient. Do your own number crunching. What I would say, if you haven't thought about this before, start by really understanding what life insurance you have today. Sit down with your spouse, figure out what coverage each of you has in place, maybe policies you had for years and an employer plan and what else is out there. And then start to ask the question, okay, honey, if you died tomorrow, what would happen? Well, I'd like to pay off the mortgage. I'd like to pay off the car loan. I'd like to get our emergency reserve set. I'd like, you know, how much do you need? And then you can go out to solve that challenge. And the biggest thing I would say when it comes to all that is don't do that alone. There's life insurance brokers that can help you through that thoughtful process. If they're honest and ethical, they'll give you good advice.
Are there certified or Kingdom Advisors when it comes to life insurance?
Yeah, so when you can go to kingdomadvisors.com, which is the website for this great association that trains biblical financial planning, and then you can search there and then look for insurance professionals as well. So, but don't be afraid to get a second opinion. If you are talking to somebody and they're presenting to you an insurance policy you don't understand, you don't know if it's your best interest, then bring it to a more objective financial planner. Say, oh, that's a lot of work. I got to talk to two people. Well, you know, it's not that hard of an answer for a good planner to sit down and say, oh, this is crazy. This is not what you should be doing. Or yes, this sounds like a solution that makes sense for you and your family.
Well, and, you know, going back to the biblical mandate we brought up earlier, forget, was that the Proverbs or First Timothy about your household? Mm-hmm. You know, when you start thinking in your head, man, that's a lot of running around. Go back to the love you have for those that you're doing this for, and put yourself a little bit in the future when you're not here, and how pleased you know you would be if you knew that you did go to a couple places and get done what needs to get done, and that they don't have the anxiety, the worry, the debt that you don't want to encumber them with. And it, you know, we've said this before, Brian, being good stewards of the resources God gives us and thinking about our family when we're, you know, legacy thinking, is a real act of love.
Absolutely. And it's the act of care and love that we're tasked with. And yeah, I think that's key. And one of the things I heard several times when I used to participate in the life insurance side of the business more, I had so many husbands that were the primary breadwinner that when we talked about, well, okay, you need this much to pay off your mortgage, then you need this much to replace your income. He says, well, she can go back to work if I die. Or I actually heard some men say this with a straight face, she'll get remarried most likely. Well, she could, but do you want that to be your surviving spouse's only option? Okay, so your husband died last month. You better start getting your resume together.
Yeah.
I mean, is that loving your wife? Is that caring for her? Is that providing for your family as we're called to do? Or, you know, oh, you know, my husband died last month. I better get on some dating apps and start finding the next guy to pay my bills. I mean, I was sickened by that several times. I mean, they would say that with the spouse in the room. So there's definitely some people that oversell life insurance as a savings solution. That's true. But there's also, as I said before, there's far more families that are underinsured and are likely to leave their spouse in a situation where they're going to be in tough financial straits, and they'll be dealing with the grieving process and the financial pressures of lost income, which is a double whammy that I would never wish upon anybody, let alone my own wife.
Yeah. Well, if you just tuned in, you need to hear the rest of this conversation. We walked through you know, framing the topic of life insurance. Brian had a great story of someone who really came to talk to him in the office, that a single person that was making decent money, sounds like, and really could have been, you know, the money they were doing towards insurance could have been better put somewhere else, not only for themselves, but eventually if they got married and had kids, that it might be, you know, at that time, something that would equal more stability, mm-hmm. To be able to afford insurance later on. And the other, you know, when we jumped into this, Brian, that, you know, one type of insurance, it's not just like, I got life insurance. There's different types of life insurance that accomplish different goals. And I think we've said it a couple of times. If you're really not clear on this, to walk through with someone who doesn't understand, and someone, you know, that's, you know, maybe you get a referral to them by someone who really has found that, no, this is a person that, you know, listen, a workman is worthy his wages, and the person giving you the insight, and you know, they should earn a wage for doing a good job for you. But you do want to find someone who has your best interest at mind, and get that insight that you need. But and then who does need insurance? We covered that and some of the common misconceptions, all of that, along with the stewardship and intentionality. And Brian, it's going to come up again. You know, to walk through this again and think, you know, to think, what kind of insurance do I have? We'll go find out while you can, mm-hmm. and then do the balance. Okay, this is my debt. This is all the things that I need insurance to pay for. Do I have enough, or do I have too much? And if, you know, if you can't walk through it by yourself, and chances are you can't. I mean, I think Brian, you even said earlier on, you know, when I said whole insurance, you know, I'm not going to define that. And you said probably most people couldn't. So do what's best for you and your family. We would encourage you to, including myself, you know, it's Brian, you always come in and play a little bit of the part of the Holy
Spirit.
Like a good
pastor, you leave convicted every time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And the key thing I'd say on this, to kind of wrap it up though, Steve, is this is not a fear decision. I don't buy life insurance because I'm afraid of the future and what it might hold. I buy life insurance because the future is uncertain.
Yeah.
And I love the people that I want to protect with the coverage.
It's good planning.
So it's not about being a wuss.
Yeah.
Or being scared or not trusting God.
Yeah.
Actually, the first company I worked for was a Christian company. They said when they first founded in the early 1900s, a lot of Christians believed that it was sinful that they were creating this insurance pool because they said, you're not trusting God to care for you if you buy insurance. I said, well, maybe that's not the great perspective, you know.
Yeah.
I trust God, but God also entrusts me with income that I could allocate towards buying insurance to protect, you know, my family. And we live in a broken, fallen world where horrible things happen all the time. And there could be an accident or, you know, something where, you know, because I love my family, I need to take those steps to make sure they're protected. So it's good stewardship in my mind. And then making intentional decisions, as you said, to know what I have now, know what I need, and then know how to fill any needs that are unmet. Yeah. That's where the good stewardship comes in.
On that, Brian, we only have a couple minutes, mm-hmm. but I'll bet someone who's in this situation listening is probably not alone in a big way. How many people, not how many, but I'm going to assume there's a great amount of people that have life insurance mm-hmm. and don't even know all the life insurance they have.
Right.
I'm assuming that's kind of a regular thing. And is there a way for them more easily to kind of rein that in and figure out what insurance they do have?
Yeah, so one of the first things I always tell people to do if you're working is go to your employer and look at your HR website or talk to your HR professional to see what you have at work, because sometimes that's really unclear to people. Then the second thing is most insurance companies only send you a statement about annually, depending on the type of coverage. So you need to talk to the insurance company, get a copy of your last statement that'll show, you know, how much you're paying and what you're getting. And then if you don't understand what that statement's telling you, immediately you need to start thinking about working with some sort of a objective financial planner to help you interpret what you have. Because that planner can help you understand what you should have in terms of total benefit upon your death, but also then what do you own today and how might we view that in the, you know, context of your overall finances. But it's, don't feel overwhelmed. Don't feel, you know, ashamed if you don't understand what you have, because you're not alone, as we talked about earlier. But that doesn't mean you also shouldn't act.
Right. I mean, doing something to get it in line is better than just sticking your head in the sand and hoping, well, I hope everyone figures it out if I end up being gone.
Yeah.
You know, be responsible for it. And Brian, I know you told us the Insights tab at johnmoore.com has the information on life insurance. Looking forward, any things we can be watching for coming to Insights?
I mentioned in one of the other segments, we have the Medicare supplement conversation coming up, kind of talking about, you know, how does Medicare work? How do Medicare supplements and Advantage plans work? And how do I make decisions as I transition from maybe an employer plan to Medicare? So excited about that conversation coming up. So I look forward to having that on the Insights page. That'll be about a 30-minute long video with lots of great content.
And I'm sure we'll do some of that here.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Have a great holiday weekend. And thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.